We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The manager of the New York Mets as they get ready to start their season. The New York Mets is Mickey Callaway. Mickey, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Good. I'm doing really well.
Welcome. Year two, Mickey. You ready to go?
I am. We had a nice little optional workout today, and everybody seems raring to go, so I'm excited about it.
All right, Mickey, what's the biggest difference to you for the Mets year one to year two? From year one to year two, you've spent all this time with this team. In a word, what's this team have that last year's didn't?
Yeah, I think that I'd have to say we have more diversity throughout our whole roster.
Okay, so just better players, better depth?
Yeah, I think that players that are capable of winning and accomplishing things different ways. You know, I felt last year we had a talented roster. I felt everybody, you know, kind of tried to do the same thing in the lineup, had the same strengths. And this year I think our hitters complement each other a little bit better. I think our bullpen kind of speaks for itself, the moves we've made there. We have more experienced guys. We have guys that have excelled in certain roles. We're much deeper. And then our rotation is obviously very solid again. So I think overall we just complement each other as a team better, and that should show up in our win totals.
Mickey, we know what you expect from DeGrom and from Syndergaard. Wheeler is a big key, 10-1 down the stretch, last 15 starts. He pitched like an ace. He had a one whip. He was sensational. Why will he be that same guy that he was the second half last year?
Yeah, I see the same confidence. I think he understands what it took for him to be successful last year, and he's healthy. You know, that was the biggest step last year. He felt healthy every day. He went out there. No arm problems, and he was able to pitch like he's capable of. You know, adding Dave Island into the mix last year, I think, helped him with his arm action, being able to get that ball out of his glove and being more consistent so he can attack hitters. And you've seen a fearless Wheeler throughout spring training, and if he does that and goes attacks like he did last year and gets ahead with that great stuff, he's going to repeat what he did the second half.
Mats has been a five-inning pitcher. He did get 30 starts last year. Said to me in spring training, I got to learn to get through that one inning. Young pitchers have to learn to get through that one inning, to make the pitch that gets you out of that one inning when it's first and second or bases loaded. What does Mats have to do this year that maybe he hasn't done in the past?
He's totally correct. It's that one inning. It's that one pitch. And to be able to do that, I feel the elite pitchers that have that ability, they are able to let go what's going on and focus on the next pitch, because that's the pitch you have to make. And I think Matsy is aware of that. He's working really hard at that. He did a nice job with his routine, that in-between-pitch routine that was implemented last year. I think those 30 starts are going to help him, just experience-wise, be able to get over the hump in a lot of those games. And then the other ones that are going to get really bad, if he doesn't lock it in, he's going to have to overcome it. You know, and that's just more will than anything. Just go out there and make sure that you focus on the next pitch. Let go what just happened, the walk, the homer, the bad call, and execute the next pitch.
How long does it take you? And you're obviously, we're talking with Mickey Callaway as we get ready to open the season. The Mets will be on our sister station on News Radio 88 every day. Mickey's report will be with me every Wednesday. You obviously had one of the great staffs in history with your Indian team. How long does it take you to learn a closer, an accomplished closer like Diaz, who's still a kid, but who has had just incredible success to start his career in Seattle?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Mike. I think that there's no one answer to that, because everybody's an individual. You know, we're going to have to continue to watch him throw, watch him compete, watch him pitch, and be able to, on a daily basis, learn who he is. Like you said, you have to know who these guys are to, and what makes them tick.
Do you talk to him? Do you talk to him a lot? Do you want to talk to your closer a lot? Do you want to have a lot of conversations with him?
I want to get to know him as a person. I want to get to know him, you know, when he's not performing. I think when it comes game time, there's not a lot of dialogue. First off, he's, you know, trying to get locked in that 30 minutes before the game and close the game out that night. Second, you know, he's just down in the bullpen or wherever he is as he's preparing for that ninth inning. But you want to make sure he's comfortable, especially a young kid like Diaz. You want to talk to him about situations. You want to talk to him about execution. You want to talk to him about attacking hitters. And I've been able to do that in spring. What a great kid this guy is.
What's your roles for Gesellman and Lugo? I mean, what do you tell them? I mean, they obviously, especially Lugo, is a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy. He reminds me of Ramiro Mendoza a little bit, a guy who could do everything. What's your plan for those two guys?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, we express to them that we can throw them multiple innings if we want to. You know, I think that if we can get 100-plus innings out of these guys, and then you mix in the Wilsons and the Familias and the Diazes with, you know, 65-plus innings, that we're going to maximize our bullpen. So I think that when we get those guys in the game, it has to be a situation where we can use them multiple innings if we can, because then we're going to maximize what they're able to do throughout the season. And we also know that both of these guys – need rest at times. You know, it's hard to throw these guys 3 out of 4. We understand that. We know that we can't just run them out there every day like we may Familia or Wilson or Diaz, and we're going to have to take care of them a little bit. So multiple innings seems to be, you know, a pretty smart move on our part as far as we see it.
Mickey, if you need a starter, if one of your starters is going to miss a start, you reach down in the minors for a starter or you use Gesellman or Lugo?
I think we do at this point, Mike. We reach down into the minor leagues. We're very comfortable with two or three of our starters down there that can come up and help us. Now, if we get a guy that we know is going to be out for a very long period of time,
you stretch out one of these guys.
Have to stretch out one of those guys.
Who would be the first one into the rotation, Gesellman or Lugo?
You know what? I think in that case, if we were talking about 10 starts, we're thinking, you know, something very prolonged like that. I think we'd go probably to Lugo. But again, we'd have to see where we're at in the season, see how guys are performing, and see what the state of our team is in.
All right. You know, interesting. You know, you're going to have a good – you've got a pitching strong team. We know that. We're talking about Mickey Callaway. We know how good it is from the top down, especially your 5 core guys, your 3 starters, and then Familia and Diaz. You got to catch the ball behind them. We got some kids we don't know how they're going to catch the ball yet. McNeil at third, Alonzo at first, even a couple of the outfielders. What do you see from your defense? I mean, we watched Rosario. We know Cano. What do you see, Mickey, from your overall defense? Is your defense up to – is it okay now?
I think so, Mike, from what I've seen in spring training. Now, and you just said it, we still don't know totally. I do know that all of these guys have been working very hard on the things that they need to do to continue to improve as a defensive performer. I mean, Pete Alonso had a great spring defensively, you know, after that first throw and the first game. So it seems like everybody's making headway. You know, McNeil is very unconventional, but the ball goes in his glove and he's got a super accurate arm. So he gets the plays made. He gets it done just like he did at second base. And he's going to have to continue to work, and we're going to have to continue to work with these guys on a daily basis to be the best defensive team we can. But right now I'm very pleased.
Alonzo and Smith are both on the team. If folks are just joining us, Alonzo is coming north with the team and Smith at first base. Now, when you say platoon, that means the guy who bats right-handed doesn't play a whole lot. How are you going to mete out time for the two guys at first base to start things, Mickey?
You know, that's something that is going to be fluid as we go. But I tell you what, Mike, it's not going to be a platoon situation. You're going to find that out tomorrow very quickly.
Oh, really?
That's right.
So Alonzo's in the lineup.
He's going to be starting tomorrow.
All right. You know, so Alonzo's in the lineup from day one. Hello. Right. There you go. So that's all right. We got it ready. So Alonzo's in the lineup opening day. There we go. So, all right. So did he impress you that? Let's talk about Alonzo for a second. We know everybody has said, Omar said, listen, he's going to hit on a major league level. Anyone you've heard from And you see anything this year? We know we had a big spring. Have you seen anything that would tell you he's not going to hit on a major league level?
No, I have not. Okay. I've seen the opposite. I've seen the way he takes pitches, how quiet he is, even against the best of the best that we faced in spring training. I think that his ability to go the other way, cover the lower half of the plate, the upper half of the plate. You know, if anybody gets it above or below those spots, yep, you know, people are going to struggle, but he doesn't chase those. So he does a great job with his plate coverage. He does a great job with his plate discipline, and he's got power. So, and it's not just hitting the ball out of the park. He hits the ball on the screws and hits it hard, and those end up being base hits because they get through.
So Alonso's in the opening day lineup, which is good news. I'm sure everyone's going to be very excited. Obviously, absolutely, we know McNeil's at third. Are you going to, because of the McNeil thing, and we know Frazier and Lowry aren't ready, are you going to give Lagares a chance to play center every day to start the season? Is that the plan?
You know what? He's going to play center a lot. And okay, I think that we have to continue to value defense. You know, we were talking about our defense,
yep,
a few minutes ago, and we have great pitching. And when you have great pitching, you're going to have great defense. And you're going to see Lego out there quite a bit.
So will he be in the opening day lineup too, Lagares?
Yeah, he will be.
Okay,
he
so will Lagares be. Will be in center, and Alonso will be at first base.
That's right.
Nimmo. Conforto, I mean, your middle of your order, you got Cano, and we know what he brings, and he had a great spring. I mean, he led the major leagues in hits in spring training. He hit 430, told me he's going to have a big season. I've known him since he was a kid. He looked great in the spring. I know you got to be excited to have him here, and he wants to be a leader. I could tell how excited he is. I would expect big things from Cano this year.
He really is. I mean, there's no better guy that we could have brought into our clubhouse with our mix of players. We have such a great group of players, and Cano fits right in. And he brings all those intangibles that you need in a leader. All he does is talk about winning. He talks about a winning approach. He talks about a mindset that you have to go out there and win. And most of all, he's won. And to mix him in with the Confortos, the Nemos, the Rosarios of the world is just.
And he loves Rosario. He told me Rosario was going to be. He said to me, I said, really? I said, I don't hear that. He goes, I'm telling you, he says Rosario's going to be a star. He loves Rosario.
I tell you what, Rosario kind of showed that this spring. It's been pretty impressive. Every at bat of the spring that I saw, he was right on it. So I'm excited for this kid and what he can do.
And obviously, you got a veteran catcher who he gives you a right-handed bat, and a guy who has killed in Mets. He's worn the Mets out,
yeah,
and is a veteran solid catcher. Plus, you're carrying three catchers, right?
We are.
Yep.
Are
you going to carry three catches? I believe you are,
no,
right?
No, we're going to carry two.
Oh, you're not carrying three. Yep. I thought you were going to carry three. Okay, you're not. Okay.
No, just two.
Oh, you're just going to carry two. Okay. I thought there was a talk that you were going to carry a third catcher. So you're carrying two catches. That's it. Okay, but
yep.
The bottom line is you expect Ramos to catch a lot. He said he wanted to catch a lot this year.
We do, and he's in a very good spot to do that. I think first and foremost, we have more days off this year. And second, he's got to be a leader back there, and our leaders have to play. Now, he's not going to go out and catch 150 games. That's tough for almost any catcher.
Right.
But he's going to play a majority of the time because we need his impact at bat in the lineup, and we need his leadership behind home plate. We had an advanced meeting today, and Dave Island said that was one of the best advanced meetings he's ever been around, and Ramos led it. So we're so excited to have that type of leader behind the plate that can come in, take control of the information, not only call a great game, but perform the way, you know, a top-line catcher is going to be able to.
Now, he's so critical because you are top-heavy left-handed. Your key guys in your lineup are left-handed hitters. Your righties, now Alonso would be a big plus if he hits. Lagares, if you get anything out of him offensively, you need these righties to pick it up a little bit. I mean, you know, you have your lefties with Conforto and Nimmo and Cano and et cetera. You need that. So he's going to be a big key guy, especially with his bat because he's right-handed.
He certainly is. And we saw our struggles last year against left-handed pitching. Our righties struggled. And that hurt us last season. So we're going to need him to step up. Like you said, we need Alonso to swing the bat well. Those two guys can come up and provide some right-handed power for us. And then Rosario of the world, the Lagarses, the Broxtons, all of those guys are going to need to step up, and we're going to be counting on them. The J.D. Davises when the lefty's in there. You know, we have a lot of confidence in him facing a left-hander. So it's going to be guys that need to step up for us to get where we want to get.
Where are you batting, Alonzo, in the lineup tomorrow?
I think we're going to have to wait on that one, Mike. I have to turn that in before
I wonder if you'd bat. Will you bat him fourth to put that kind of pressure on him, or is that too much pressure to put on him?
You know what, Mike? You might see more pressure than that. That's all I'll say.
Oh, really? Oh, you're going to back Cano second and Alonzo third. Okay. All right. So he's going to be in the middle of the lineup then. So you have that much. All right. So that's interesting. Okay.
We have a lot of confidence in this kid.
There you go.
Sure.
How about you? Second year. First year was tough at times. We know that. You had a new league. You got Riggleman, who's a great guy and a great bench coach. And I know him a long time. He's a good guy to have. And I'm sure, I saw you guys interacting in spring training. He's a wonderful guy. I've known him a long time, a wonderful baseball guy. I'm sure you're happy to have him with you, right?
I really am. He, like you said, he is a top-notch, not just guy, but baseball coach. He's been in the National League for a long time. We sat there all spring training and talked about situation after situation, and it was unbelievable. I mean, the wealth of knowledge that's in his head is so impactful, and I'm glad that he's going to be sitting next to me on that bench.
You know, Joe Torre told me, Mickey, that all those years, he loved the fact he had Zimmer and he had Mel Stottlemyre all the time, yeah, and right with them both times. And he said Zimmer always was more daring than he was, so he's always prompting him to do something daring, and he would always be a little more conservative. But having that guy in your ear is a good, you know, having a good baseball guy in your ear who's been around a long time and maybe has a little different personality than you and sees the game a little different than you makes you think about a lot of different things during the game.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mike. You hit the nail on the head. I think that when you're sitting there in a baseball game, both of us were seeing two or three things daily we'd never seen in the game before. And that's saying a lot for Jim Riggleman, who's been around the game for 45-plus years. He saw things that he's never seen. We'd get to interact about them and talk about them. And you get better when you have a person around that like that. So you're right. I think that Joe Torre was definitely right. When you get those experienced baseball guys and guys that are willing to really be outspoken on how they feel and aren't shy to share it.
And how about this? How about from first year to second year? You were around Francona, who's a great manager. You were around a great team with that Indian team. You were the pitching coach of a very valued lieutenant. Now you become the manager. How tough a transition was the first year?
You know what? I think just the experience of it is going to be invaluable. It is definitely a different task. It's a different job than a pitching coach is. But I really enjoyed it. I love the National League game. There's no doubt that when you're in that National League dugout, it's more exciting. You get to think about baseball in a different way. And I'm really enjoying it. So it's definitely a different role, but I'm embracing it and learning something every day.
All right, tell the Met fans as you get on the eve of your opening here, what's your message to the Met fans this year?
You know, come out and support us. We have a great group of guys that are going to play the game the right way, and they are excited about going out there and winning a bunch of games for them. So we're anxious to get back to Citi Field and have our opening day at home with our fans as well.
Thanks very much, Mickey. Good luck. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
My pleasure. Thank you. All right, Mickey Callaway, the manager of the Mets, says the Mets open up. So what you got for Mickey was not only is Alonzo in the lineup, but he's going to be batting third, and Cano's going to be batting second. So basically, right away, they're telling you what they think of Alonzo, who had a great spring. Cano led the spring training in hits and hit 420 or 30. I don't know where he finished, somewhere in that range. Alonzo had a big spring, and we thought, even Keith thought, and Keith had seen the team, that Smith would be in the lineup against the big throwers. And right away, no platoon. Alonzo's in there batting third. Now they're not. They had been talking them carrying three catches. They're only carrying two catches, not three. They had been talking them carrying three, carrying two catches instead of three. And Alonzo in the lineup, Lagares in the lineup in center field. That means Nimmo in left, Conforto in right, Lagares in center for defense to see if he hits a little bit. Right now they have no one else to put in there with McNeil playing third base. If Lowry was in there, McNeil would be in left field and Nimmo would be in center field and Lowry would be in third base, but he's not there. So the bottom line is McNeil's at third base instead. He has a chance to win that job. Frazier and Lowry not ready. So there's your scoop. Alonso in the lineup, Lagares in the lineup, and Alonso hitting right in the middle of the lineup. Back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.